everybody at 105 The Ticket.
As he lines a bullet right side, deflecting off Pedroia, trickling into shallow center. Dozier rounding third, he will score. Torrey Hunter's back with the Twins. He knocks in a run, and the Twins lead 1-0. And the 0-2 Hicks lines one to right center field, to his right, leaping, can't catching his Brents. It gets by him and finds the wall, and this should be fun. Escobar round third, he will score. Hicks easily is at third base standing. Twins once again lead by two. It's a 3-1 game.
Game tied at four in the third. Here comes Ogando, and the 2-1 is swinging a drive hit to deep right center field. Racing back, Bradley still going. That ball carrying. Bradley at the wall turns, and that ball's gone. Eduardo Escobar to deep right center. That ball kept on going, and the Twins take a 6-4 lead here in the third.
Fun to watch those games on FSN, by the way, is where we got that audio. But it's good
stuff.
Watch baseball again, man.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch a Molitor coached and managed squad this time around. It's going to be a different kind of play, I think. Just a different style. Sort of a different intensity, a different... they're going to be assertive. I mean, they're going to be on a mission, I think. I don't think Paul is going to let it be as relaxed. Let's just put it that way. Because Gardenhire, although he was a fireball, he didn't run out to the mound for a nice squabble.
But was he a fireball in the right way?
But I don't think he was a fireball in the clubhouse.
Because he was a goofball, and he let Joe Mauer and all the guys get away with murder. He was, I mean, really, when you talk about a fireball, he was really a softie. He was a goofball.
He really was a good, kind-hearted guy. And he was aggressive and tenacious, I think, in his role as a manager on game day. I mean, when it came time to go out there and stick up for one of his boys, you know, like Ploofy or...
Ploofsy. That's what he called him. Ploofsy.
Was it Maori? Or just Joey?
No, JoJo.
That's it. It was JoJo, wasn't it? Well, he, you know what, he's got...
All I wanted to do when I heard him and do his little stinking nicknames was this.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Wow. Well, you missed.
That's why I got one more.
A really bad shot. That one got you. Hey, but I think the Mahler's going to be real deal. I think he's going to give them a little guff when they need a kick in the seat. Right square in the britches, as my dad would say. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it's coming down the line right now with Paul Molitor.
Well,
I
don't think he's going to put been there and done that and been a Hall of Famer. Yeah.
It's not going to get past him. And he's been with this organization for a long time. And I'm not talking about just around and helping out in spring training. He's been on the plane rides. He's been part of this team now.
But you should have seen, and I can't remember exactly because I was tuning in back and forth with all the other games that are going on right now. I mean, I love sports, and especially all the options on TV with the high school hockey tournament and then the Minnesota Twins, and then there were the Wild last night and the Gophers.
Everything.
It was unbelievable. And so, but what really catapulted them, because it was a close game, put them over the top is base running. And when it comes down to the little... nitty-gritty things about the Minnesota Twins, they're going to go back to those Piranha-type playing where base running, defense, all the little things that matter, like when we talk about the Gophers hitting free throws, playing defense, doing stuff like that, playing with hustle. That's what the Twins are going
to
be.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be a return to Twinkie ball, just the way Ozzie Guillen had put it. He and Gardenhire being pretty close friends, but they were stickler for that Twins hustle kind of baseball. To hustle, to run things out. I think that bringing guys back like Hunter and setting that tone and bringing, I think Maurer's got to pick this thing up too. He's got to be one of those guys, along with Torrey Hunter and along with some of these older guys, he's got to be the guy that steps in there and just finally makes some waves.
Sure,
he's got to change.
Sure, he's got to be, but is he going to be?
I wonder. I mean, the word is that he's taking this to heart.
Well, he better take it to heart. We're paying him $23 million.
So my question to you is: does he, in fact, come back and change something?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, in himself, not and his game is going to come around if he's back. But can he change himself in the clubhouse and be more of that guy that can help somebody else out and bring him along with him?
No, I don't think so. Not at all. I mean, we heard.
So the best leader in there right now, the best leader in the clubhouse right now is Torrey Hunter. Is that right? There's no one coming back from last year that would be that in that role.
Ooh,
no one.
Besides Torrey Hunter. I don't think so.
Name one guy with a... I mean, is Dozier even close? Is Plouf even close? I mean, honestly, I'm wondering. I mean, I don't know what the clubhouse is like. I know why they brought Hunter back, but I don't know who the best returning leader is to coincide with Torrey Hunter. He's not going to be here just to do that.
So I think on Monday, because the position players for the Minnesota Twins were supposed to show up by Saturday. I think most of them were there before then. But for for your question or whatever you're saying about Joe Mauer changing and being this new leader and stuff.
Is he willing to do that after going through the year he had last year? I mean,
but listen to this clip that we played on Monday.
Okay.
When all the players were coming back, listen to the enthusiasm from Joe Mauer and listen to how he's changed and how he's so much more verbose and is going to take this team by the reins.
I know what this is.
It's good to be back in the clubhouse with all the guys and to get out on the field. And you know, pretty much everybody was here a few days early, so that's always a good sign. But, you know, I'm still learning and I'm still trying to get better the best I can over there. But I feel a lot more comfortable this year than last year. We got some new faces in here, you know, players and coaches. And enthusiasm was high and it was good.
It was good. I mean, hold on to your hair. Luckily, I don't have any hair left, and you make fun of it all the time, and that's kind of a sore spot and breaks my heart every single day when you mention something like that.
I wish you'd do something with that
Joe
term.
Mauer, my God, Joe Mauer is the least exciting guy you have ever seen in your life. And when you think of Minnesota and outsiders think of Minnesota, they think of, you know, the Norwegians, Ole and Lena, and guy. I mean, that Joe Mauer is a typical what you think of Minnesota if you're not from here. I'm from here, but just from people you go on
vacation. Right down the, if you're walking down the line of Minnesota sports and all the four majors that we represent are represented here in the Twin Cities, you would say Minnesota Twins, first name, certainly Joe Mauer,
of
right?
Of course.
First name, Minnesota Vikings. First name that jumps out
Adrian
is
Peterson.
Peterson. Now, of course, with the Timberwolves.
Kevin Garnett.
And then the Wild.
Zach Parise?
Yeah, and then, but there's a question mark in your voice. Because why?
Because the Dubinator.
That's right. You had it right. You had the exact order that I would have put in there. Because he's a national story, no matter where you go in hockey right now.
But at the same time, I mean, Zach Parise, as much money as we're paying him, he's
real deal.
But he is a real deal, and he's fantastic. And I love the fact that he leaves his blood and guts out there on
he
the
does.
Ice. However, the Minnesota Wild are pretty stacked now. They're pretty deep, and so they don't have that one guy where you look anymore. I mean. Used to be Ryan Suter. He logged the most ice time, and he was great. He was the lone all-star in the Minnesota Wild this year in the NHL. So, I don't know. There's too many good players on the Wild to just name one and say it's the face of the franchise.
Well, I'm just saying, the first one that comes to mind, if you were someone blowing through here and you're looking at it from the outside in, not here regionally, but you would think probably Parise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you would absolutely put Dubnyk a close second.
To be honest, the first name that came to my mouth and what I was going to say almost came out as, can you guess?
The first name with the Wild?
Yeah, when you said, who would you say? Or I almost said Mikko Koivu.
Oh, no, you didn't.
The captain.
Did
well, he's the captain,
okay.
Man.
Okay, right. Well,
he can El Capitan.
He can be captain. He can be captain. But I think you have to do a little more than what that is. But I've been told he's everything that a captain should be, by the way.
Mikko?
When it comes to practice.
He's a great American.
When it comes to time for the locker room and that kind of thing, I think he's fantastic. But I think
you're fantastic.
Here's another thing I think is fantastic, is that I believe, honestly, that Molitor is the best leader going into that thing. And
yes.
Thank God he is, because he and Torrey Hunter are going to have to lead the way. Mauer, I think, was talking about the enthusiasm of everybody else. Not himself, but everybody else seems to be pretty enthusiastic, because he's not going to be. He's lethargic.
I'm real excited about this new. We got new guys, and I'm still learning, and all this.
I think it's the funniest thing I've ever heard from a great athlete, is because normally a great athlete is a lot more excitable than he is. I've never run into someone like this.
Have you ever run into somebody? I mean, and Teddy Bridgewater is. He's not like he's super excitable. He seems very much older than he's an old soul,
and he's within himself.
For
he's
sure.
within himself, and I think he means well, and I think he comes across well with his teammates. And I quite frankly, I don't think I can say that about Mauer. I don't think I can say that about Mauer.
No.
With his teammates and what we see of him on TV, I honestly don't think that he's as into it as we would like him to appear to be. I think Teddy is all businesslike. I think he's businesslike. But he gets it done.
And somebody, I think Teddy, the difference between Teddy Bridgewater and Joe Mauer is Teddy Bridgewater wants to learn. And I feel like Joe Mauer thinks like he's got it all figured out.
No, Joe just said, I'm still learning.
Well.
He said, I'm still learning. He said, I'm still learning, you know, picking up on things.
Just wrap it up. I'm going to lay down here on the ground. I'm giving up.
Apparently Ben Holson is done for the day. He's quitting and going home.
Because when you say Joe Mauer is still learning, you're joking, aren't you?
That's what he said.
Well, of course that's what he said. He also said he's excited.
You think he's a liar, then? You're going to call him a liar?
I don't think he's a liar. I just don't think he believes anything he says. It's hard for me to believe anything he says when he talks like this. And Joe Mauer, and I'm excited. We got new players.
Want to come back? Just want to get better. Still learning.
And he says, I'm still learning a lot, but I don't have any inflection in my voice. But I can't wait to get out there and play baseball.
It's ridiculous and asinine, as far as I'm concerned. Where's Jim Rich at? Is he waiting on the phone?
Yes.
Is he waiting right now on the phone line?
Yes.
Okay, let's take a break and come back and get Jim Rich and see if he can perk us both up.
The boys have been fighting all season long. Now it's time to crown a champion. The Minnesota Boys High School Hockey Championships on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Forehand back and score!
Both Class A and Double A. Every game of the state tournament on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday will be live right here.
Blocks his shot. Races in on goal.
Presented by Nature's Fury NutriDrink.
Your Minnesota State High School Hockey Champions.
Wall-to-wall coverage on your home for the boys' state tournament. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105, The Ticket.
Doobie's going to start. We look at this game as an extremely important game for us. Obviously, you can talk about maybe resting or keeping an eye on games maybe 2 or 3 weeks from now, but those games don't mean a lot unless we win games right now. You know, and also, he only gave up 25 shots last night, so I don't think he should be too tired.
How much does Mike Yeo sound like Rick Spielman?
Not very much.
Well, a lot. I would say quite a bit. Oh, yeah. We're going to have to play that side-by-side sometime. But we have Jim Rich right now. Maybe he can help us out with it right now. I mean, decide for us right now, Jim Rich. Yeah. How much does Mike Yeo sound just like Rick Spielman?
I don't think at all.
Shut up.
Remember that, Bob? I found it again. Oh, God. Sorry. Let's play the puke button, Jim Rich. Are you all right, man? You sound like you don't feel well.
No, I'm doing just great. Just great.
Wow. Yeah, you sound like a million bucks.
Wow, sound like hell. You know, you sound like hell.
That's what people say every night.
No, people say you look like hell. Two completely different things.
Oh, Jim
that's
Rich.
What it is. No,
thanks for taking time. We know that you're maybe a tad bit under the weather. But
we're fine.
Regardless.
We're fine.
Regardless, you're on with us, and we appreciate your time. And also, we appreciate the kind of play that the Minnesota Wild are giving us right now, beating the Washington Senators. Capitals.
Yes. No, the Bullets.
They're the Bullets. Yeah. Wes Unseld, yes.
The old
Bullets. I remember that team, too. Without Ovechkin.
But what a boring game that was. 49 minutes of absolute boring hockey until Palmer scored 2 goals within 5 minutes last night. But otherwise, Devan Dubnyk faced 25 shots, saved 24 of them, obviously. And then back-to-back games, and he's starting again tonight.
This one kind of surprises me.
Me too.
I thought that this would be his window of opportunity. They've now jumped ahead of Winnipeg. They're a point ahead of the Jets. So they're now the first wild card team. So you're thinking, okay, you know, now's a good opportunity for the Wild to give Devan a rest. And plus, they have Saturday off. That's a mandated NHL day for the team, so they can't skate on Saturday. So that would have gave them 2 full days to let them sit around and then get ready for Colorado on Sunday afternoon. But Mike Yeo, he's just standing on that accelerator, and he's trying to get as much space between the teams behind him as possible.
Now they're only points behind Chicago, too, which I thought was pretty good. They, I believe, are in fourth place in the Central now. They leapfrog, I want to say, Winnipeg. They're seventh place in the Western Conference wild card spot. And the game coming up Sunday is going to be probably pretty aggressive, wouldn't you say, especially since the game last weekend where at the end of the game with 4 seconds to go, McLeod took a run at Coyle in Granlin, and then Landeskog took a shot at Mikko Koivu on the bench. So they had 27 minutes of penalty minutes in the last 4 seconds. I mean, these guys are going to be chippy.
We heat it up.
You know, it can go two ways. You get all hyped up and you think, holy buckets, this is going to be a Donnybrook from the opening faceoff, and nothing happens. Or it can go that way. It's strange how you get built up and think this is just going to be a bloodbath, and then nothing happens. So it'll be interesting to see what Colorado decides. They've lost some players. Nathan MacKinnon is now gone for the season. He suffered an injury that's basically ended his year. So they're a team now that I think maybe that was their last gasp to try to get themselves back in playoff contention. And that's why they threw everything at the Wild last Saturday, figuring it was a must-win situation. And now they lose one of their stars, and they're farther back, and maybe they'll just come in here and not really give much of an effort.
I think they're going to have to ride Dubnyk out, though. I can see why Yo is doing this, though. I can see why he's doing it. I mean, they've got to make it while they can. I mean, if they take one step back and lose any of this momentum that they've got right now on a hot goaltender who seems to be just riding the storm out himself. He doesn't seem to be putting up any stink over it, or his attitude is great about his work, and he's killing it right now. I think you have to almost, as you said, Jim, put that margin between you and the people behind you as much as you can. Maybe even have a chance to rest him before you go into the playoffs if you find yourself in on a comfort level with that. And putting Kemper in and getting him rested up before the playoffs for like one night or two.
But don't you think tonight would be the night you rest him against the Carolina Hurricanes, who are 24-31-7, because then you have to play the Colorado Avalanche, obviously. You know the history there.
It's going to be heated.
Then you take a game off. Oh, the New Jersey Devils on Tuesday. Then next weekend is going to be crazy with the Anaheim Ducks on Friday, the St. Louis Blues on Saturday, and then the Predators on Tuesday. I mean, that's a run of games with teams that are the top of the Western Conference.
Right, and this may be what he's thinking. He may be looking at it at that and thinking, all right, these are points that I can't leave on the table, like that Edmonton game where they lost 2-1. A week or 10 days ago, and everybody's like, oh, man, that could really come back to haunt you. Maybe he wants to get these now because, as we've talked about, the schedule turns down the stretch. It gets nasty. They have a grueling finish, and, you know, it'll be tough for them to consistently pick up points on a nightly basis. So maybe he's thinking, all right, here's our chance. Let's get as far ahead as we can. Try to play 500 down the stretch, and that'll get us in.
You're the man. You know this. You know this. The posturing and the positioning, and what it takes to come down the stretch as much as anyone. And Yo has been pretty good himself at juggling this lineup, and you know how he's going to play people and where. And certainly goaltenders last year, he was I think amazing at that, at how he was rotating goaltenders based on who was hot, who was not at the time. But this year we got one guy, and I think that it's a telltale sign that Yo doesn't believe in anyone backing him up, and he knows he's got to make some headway still. Even the they've been the team that they've been since the All-Star break. He knows that they've got to continue on at that pace.
And maybe you just hit on it right there by saying maybe he knows he only has one goaltender. Maybe Kemper's been awful in practice, and they're just like, yeah, we can't put him in there. We just cannot
put him in there. If it kills the momentum, you'd go back and you'd say, I should have ridden the hot goaltender and just let Dubnyk stay with it as long as he could. And at least get into the playoffs, get him rested one way or another, and then survive in advance at that point.
Yeah, because, you know, and I'm sure they're checking with Dubnyk every day and, you know, feeling them out, saying, hey, how you doing? And Bob Mason keeps tabs on the goalies. And, he probably feels he's the guy. And so they just look at it as like, well, we either take a loss or we play Dubnyk. What do you guys want to do? I don't know.
I think so, too.
But how can you not have enough confidence in your offense to kind of, I mean, for one game, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. We're talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9. Jim, I'm so excited for a free agency in the NFL. Let's switch gears here just a little bit. The tampering period, obviously, officially open tomorrow. Teams have been talking to potential free agents already. We know they have. What do you see the Minnesota Vikings doing between now and the next time we talk to you on Monday?
Boy, you know, it's going to be real interesting to see what transpires and who Rick Spielman, targets. So far, going into this, he said that I'm just going to sit back, let the big chips get off the table, and then I'll go after the scraps when the prices come down. Does he stay with that formula? He's never been one to really dive in headfirst the last couple of seasons into free agency. He targets what he wants, and he apparently feels they're doable because most of the targets that he goes after, he gets. I still think they got to figure out what Adrian's response is. Maybe they already know it, and they're not saying. But I think they need to know that before they start throwing money around.
I do too. I mean, they've got to understand where he's coming from. I think that has to be known concrete before you can go off and write any other checks. I think you hit it right on the head there. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as Ndamukong Suh goes somewhere out of our division, away from the Lions, I'm happy. I just want to see someone get him and move him from the Lions. That will help us out significantly for 2 weeks. That, I mean, I want to see that guy out of here or in purple. Why not? Just spend the rest of this.
Come on.
Spend everything on Sue. Yeah.
Too much. The thing that isn't the problem with the Minnesota Vikings are front four. And then the rotation that they have, they might be looking for a defensive end because Corey Wooten is just not cutting it. But when you look at everybody else, the front four is fine. And the rotation of the guys in the middle and on the outside in the front four is fine. We don't need to do anything except maybe sign a backup defensive end. We need to focus on the rest of the defense, the offensive line, and possibly a wide receiver or running back, depending on what happens with Adrian Peterson.
Jim Rich, what do you think of that one?
Wow. Jeez, he just put you in your place.
I should say he did. We're not going to have Ndamukong Suh around here. What would we do with him?
Yeah, you know, he could probably play both ways. Like Dubnyk, never takes a day off.
Well,
I'm not taking a playoff.
J.J. Watt, just line him up at tight end. What the hell? Let him catch the damn ball. We're going to let you go, though.
But
you need to go take care of yourself.
Jim,
you know that?
Real quick. My
wife, Patty, is taking very good care of me.
She does a wonderful job.
And so that's the benefit of being sick.
This is a family show, Jim. We don't need to get into that naughty thing you got going on with your wife there back at the house. But
Just nursing me back to health.
I know what nursing means. Playing doctor and nurse? Yeah. Fox 9 Sports Now segment, 10:35 Sunday night. What do you have coming up, my friend?
You know what? I may have that guy sitting next to you.
So?
I think that free agency is kind of pushing for the headlines, and by Sunday night, we may have a better idea, and we may want to fix that cranium of his to see if he can figure out what exactly the Vikings are doing. Because he's a guy, you could recall going back to drafts, this guy called it year after year after year what they were going to do with that first pick.
Do you know that I went 9 years straight without missing a choice? I went 9 years straight after I got out of football. 9 first-round draft choices. It didn't matter where we were lined up, when we picked. I even got Kevin Williams, even though
missed the pick.
No, I got it. I think it was McKinney. Okay. I think, but yeah, and then the other guy from Suggs was actually in front of Kevin Williams, and we picked him. What do you think of that? I called that.
Yep.
Uh huh.
You're the smartest guy I know. That's why I'm not kidding.
That's why I'm thinking. I'm going to make a call to your partner and see
it's going to cost you a lot. Put me on layaway.
That's a good idea.
I'd like to come on with you, but I want you to start feeling better.
Yeah, me too.
I will. I'll try to not be whatever they call that to wipe you out. So I'll be in another studio. How about that? I'll be like in one of those, you know, on the game show when they put the guy in the booth.
The soundproof.
So he can't hear the answer. Well, I'll be able to talk to you, but I'll just be in an enclosed booth so you can't catch what I have.
Or being one of those bubbles, like the Bubble Boy movie. Just being one of those giant bubbles. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, one of those hamster balls. They could just roll around on the set.
I love it. I love it. Jim Rich, thank you very much, sir.
Alrighty, boys.
Off he goes.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
We'll talk to you later, Mike.
You bet. We're going to talk about the top 6 predictions for the Vikings free agent upgrades.
And
the draft choices.
And your guy, our guy, the guy that I'm jumping on your bandwagon, Trey Waynes.
Oh.
Cornerback.
You like that?
Was on Mel Kiper's newest mock draft, being taken at number 11 by your Minnesota Vikings.
No way.
People are jumping on our bandwagon. Trey Waynes, we love this kid.
Oh, I do
we'll
too.
We'll talk about that.
I really
and all
do.
This
Let's
stuff.
Talk about all yeah. that. I can't wait, man. Yes. Radioactive Sports now.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I think someone better P-test Tiger Woods. I said that a long time ago.
But how dare the PGA do anything like that to their chosen son?
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
I pride myself on being a technician, and, you know, that's something I've worked on every day in practice. And to me, the most important thing is footwork and patience at the line of scrimmage. Just with repetition, I'll get better and better at it. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to play under Coach Barnett, Coach Narduzzi, and Coach Antonio. And the guys that I had in front of me to show me the ropes, like Darquez, you know, they helped shape me into the player I am today.
I love that guy.
Darqueze Dennard is who he's speaking about. Went to the Bengals last year. I thought he was a great player myself. Man, I've got something for these Michigan State defensive backs. That was the voice of my favorite guy, I think.
My favorite guy now, too.
I like him better than the available offensive lineman that I think we could have in that slot at number 11. But Trey Waynes, cornerback, Michigan State. Mr. Kuiper, Mel Kuiper, the evangelist.
The guy with
that
hair.
Yeah, that hair. I mean, he's a... Apparently, you've gone on to find out that he has him in his mock draft.
Yeah, his newest
slotted
mock draft.
At number 11.
Oh, his newest mock draft, and he has Trey Waynes, who you were on first. Turn me on to Trey Waynes. I'm absolutely all in on Trey Waynes. I want him at number 11. I think he's best player available. However, Mel Kuiper did say this. If Amari Cooper, and we'll talk about this, but let me talk about what Mel Kuiper said. If Amari Cooper from Alabama, the wide receiver, were to slide past the Rams, he'd be one of the easiest picks in the draft at number 11. Because... if he doesn't go there to slide down to number 11 on the board, and the board breaks this way, the way Mel Kuiper has it, it would be hard for Minnesota to pass on a player who both profiles as a safe pick and as an explosive player who can create points on the defensive side of the ball. He went on to say, especially when this draft is again chock full of pass-catching talent, the Vikings are in decent shape up front, but they lack both depth and size at cornerback, which is no fun in a division with Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, and possibly Jay Cutler on the schedule six times a year. That's a mix of a lot of competent throwing and some potential for interceptions, too. Waynes isn't much of a reach here after a stellar combine and definitely hits a need. I saw that, and I was dancing around the studio like a little girl.
I've been looking at names, looking at players, watching them in combine, watching NFL Network, watching the kids run. I say kids. Watching these guys run their 40s and all the testable things, all the numbers things that they do at combine. And I saw him run that 4.3 40, Trey Waynes. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, what do we have here?
We
find him in all these other individual drills, and he's just tearing it up, man. He's killing it. And so I thought, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go and watch this afternoon. I'm going to watch Scherf from Iowa to see what I think of him. He pulls up lame with a hamstring, and I'm like, well, I think that made it easy for me. I mean, I like the fact that this kid came in as confident as he was. He tested so well in everything, all the testable physical things.
I can't wait for the draft. We're still a little over a month and a half away, end of April, early May. Obviously, the draft this year in Chicago, but free agency starts this weekend. So our guy, Arif Hassan, who we've had on the radio program here, has a new article saying Minnesota Vikings final free agency outlook and predictions. And we're going to go through five different things here, and I want to get your take on them. Because I think I agree with Arif, but I want, you're the professional football player. You're the former Minnesota Viking. You're the guy that knows everything that when it comes to talking about this kind of stuff. So the first one, the Minnesota Vikings will sign a starting linebacker.
That's his, and he's prioritizing it that way? Or he's just saying that's one of the needs, one of the five things that they've got to get done?
I believe I'm going from 5 to 1. The Minnesota Vikings will sign a starting linebacker. Free agency obviously opens Tuesday, but they can tamper and do all that stuff beginning tomorrow.
I can see that very easily. I can see wanting a linebacker that can come in already with some games behind him. Not take a chance so much in the draft. When you see someone out there that you really like, and you see what you've got still on the table here, Anthony Barr, you know, Greenway, they're working with him, talking with him. Yeah, I could see that. I really could. I have no trouble with that. As long as it is a player that makes plays and is durable. I don't want to see some guy that's got a track record of, you know, blocks of games where he's gone injured and missing 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time. And I don't want that kind of guy. It's a telltale sign that they may not do enough in the offseason.
Obviously. The bigger names, obviously, Rolando McClain. He's one violation away from a 4-game suspension. Ray Maliuga, who we talked about with ties to Mike Zimmer, has been re-signed. Brandon Spikes, Buffalo Bills, 27, doesn't seem young enough to be that surefire target for the Vikings, though, but he's not old enough
to be. We wanted Kiko Alonso
completely out of the picture. Yeah. So the Vikings will sign a starting linebacker. Yes.
Well, I haven't got a problem. I'd like to know who that is, I guess, but if he has a better take on this than I do, I could see doing that. It had better be a production guy that stays out there on the field. That's all I want.
Number two on the list from 5 to 1. This is from our guy Arif Hassan, by the way, we've had on the show. The Minnesota Vikings will target an upper tier safety.
In the free agency.
Free agency. No,
I could see that. I could see where they would want to look at anyone who is available. Polamalu is available. He only played 75 years.
He mentions Devin McCourty.
Incredible player.
He mentions 25-year-old Raheem Moore from the Denver Broncos.
Those two will cost you a lot.
You're going upper tier.
That's upper. That is certainly upper. From the Patriots, they won't let him slide.
Stevie Brown, 8 interceptions with the New York Giants in 2012.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like any of those guys. Yeah. But I do like Robert Blanton, and I'm going to stick with that. I really still like the guy. I don't see a huge upside to it when I think that there's still another 1 or 2 years of upside with Robert Blanton. He led the team in tackles last year with 106, by the way.
Next up, the Minnesota Vikings will seek offensive line depth.
Well, that's my first and foremost thing to address. Whatever it takes to lock the door and keep the scoundrels out and off of Teddy Bridgewater's back. That's what I want.
He mentions James Carpenter from the Seattle Seahawks, left guard.
Yeah, he's very good player.
Versatile swingman Ja Reed can play tackle or guard. He's 26 years old.
Okay.
Former Cincinnati Bengal Mike Polak.
Interesting.
He also says a long list of veteran options like Fernando Velasco, Jeff Linkenbach, Paul McKiston.
And then, of course, Mike Iupati.
No, that's too much money, I think.
Well, it's a lot of money, but it's an option.
A lot of injury, but yeah, you're right.
They get a lot of money.
Next up, the Minnesota Vikings will sign a quality defensive tackle.
Big mistake. I mean, they have that at number two?
This is number two.
I find that amazing that he put that in that slot. I think I'm like you. I think it's one of the last things I would address. I mean, I throw out the name Ndamukong Suh because it's Ndamukong Suh. I mean, who wouldn't want a beast like that? No one can afford it. Someone's going to have to be able to afford it, but I want him to move away from the Lions. We won't get that. They're in pretty good shape. I don't know why this is on the list at all. I really don't.
They have to re-sign Tom Johnson. But he also mentions Henry Melton, who a star defensive tackle before his injury. The Minnesota Vikings went after him last year, but he ended up signing with the Dallas Cowboys.
A tough player. And I mean, the Dallas was a big surprise on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they lost a lot of key players. Ware went to Denver. Sean Lee went down in OTAs. So they lost him. And I mean, he's Superman in shoulder pads.
Arif Hassan finally says the Minnesota Vikings will otherwise just reserve cap space for future rollover.
I think you probably should. It'd be smart. I think it'd be wise just to have that in the kitty in case something really did pop up that was surprising or someone came available or tradable. But right now, I think that they probably should go with what they've been doing the last few years and just relying on the draft. And you got to hit home runs, though. You have to hit home runs. They've done a decent job in the draft.
So just to recap, we got to take a break. The Vikings will sign a quality defensive tackle, whether it be re-signing Tom Johnson or going after a guy like Henry Melton. The Vikings will seek offensive line depth. You and I think, agree on probably a starter on the left side of the offensive line.
A starter. I mean, a bona fide player. And I would absolutely sign Joe Berger back.
Yeah.
I would get him back. Flip him some money and make him happy. And
same with Tom Johnson.
A utility player.
Same thing.
Tom can really, he can put a lot of plays in for you, but Berger is so valuable. I mean, he came in and we didn't miss much.
I think Tom did the same thing, 6.5 sacks. I mean, up the middle at that rotation, it's very important.
Well, that's more than Sharif Floyd had.
The Minnesota Vikings will target an upper-tier safety, and finally, the Minnesota Vikings will sign a starting linebacker. Can't wait for this one. God.
I mean, let it fly. But apparently they're holding out on what we're saying or what we're hearing them say, the Vikings, that is. I don't know. It doesn't seem like their game. I haven't seen them do that in a long, long time. But if you have your eye on somebody that we haven't mentioned already, then I'd like to know who it is. Be interesting. But we're going to come back. When we do, man, this thing is... We're almost done.
We have high school hockey. High school hockey to get to. 6 o'clock, Eden Prairie against Duluth East, I believe. 6 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. And then the big game later on tonight, Eden Prairie versus Lakeville North. Lakeville North has, and we'll talk about that coming up in the sillier side of sports, they have a player that has just the most beautiful hair of all time. They don't lose hockey games either. Could be breaking a record.
You know what? Sign him up. Alongside Clay Matthews Jr.
Oh, I think it's thicker, more lush hair than Clay Matthews.
Also, more like Polamalu.
No, it's not that thick. I would say
well, he's still a head and shoulders
like a
kind
woman.
Of guy.
I would say like a beautiful woman.
So the VO5. Wow.
Yeah. Pantene Pro V. Here we come. This guy is gorgeous, and it's all over the internet. We'll talk about that.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, anyway, we'll come back. Sillier side of sports, and it sounds like we've got plenty planned there for you, and then I've got a true superstar to end the show, okay? Come on back.
Minnesota Golden Gopher Women's Hockey on 105 The Ticket.
Votta shoots, she scores! Hat-trick for Rachel Votta!
The Gophers look to win their third national championship in 4 years.
Huge save, Levier!
The Gophers in the WCHA final face-off take on the Bemidji State Beavers Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m.
Minnesota Golden Gopher Women's Hockey.
Cameron Easy save, rebound! They score! Minnesota wins!
Championship hockey is played on 105 The Ticket. The high-flying Timberwolves are in town. Stop by Hubert's and join superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson, broadcasting live before every Wednesday home game.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will have Timberwolves players and coaches on the air, as well as our awesome ticket girl sampling North Lake beer.
Plus, Hubert's will have adult root beer floats made with Killebrew root beer and North Lake beer on tap.
Wolves Wednesday, presented by North Lakes Brewing and Killebrew root beer. Live from Hubert's, starting at 4 before every Wednesday Wolves home game on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Here's Sports Radio 105 The Ticket on iHeartRadio. Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
Hockey. Sillier side of sports, though. We're going to wrap this biatch up before Pete Wagner takes over again, live from the XL Energy Center, Minnesota High School.
That's what I was saying.
Tournament. No, you weren't. You were taking forever to get to it. Number two, seeded the Cake Eaters, Edina versus unseeded Duluth East, Class 2A semifinal. Then at 8 o'clock, big game right here on 105 The Ticket. Number one, Lakeville North versus number five, Eden Prairie.
Now tell me about this kid and the golden locks.
Golden locks.
Now, does he have gold locks or is he?
No, it's brown.
Oh, okay. Well, he's let it grow out a little bit.
Yeah.
So many of the kids are doing this now.
All over the internet today. Enjoying your flowing head of hair while you can, these young guys. Yeah. At the game, because if you're like me, your male parental pattern baldness can strike anybody, and it acts quickly. Luke Sepper of the undefeated Lakeville North team. You'll see him again tonight. I'm sure he'll probably do it again tonight at 8 o'clock. Certainly getting the best of his locks right now. The gif of his introduction last night during the high school state hockey tournament is all over the web. Sepper skated up to the camera, took off his ponytail thingamajinger, let his hair drop down, and then shook it like in slow motion, like you see, Kathy Ireland. Remember her when she used to do the Pantene Pro V things
exactly,
or whatever?
Exactly.
Looked like
a supermodel.
He looked like he was in a woman shampoo commercial.
Like Giselle.
It was unbelievable.
I'm telling you what, I mean, you and I should start growing our hair right now.
You can't.
And just keep growing it. Well, yeah, I think you could. And then you perm it. Throw a little perm in there.
A bald perm.
Yeah, you look like Danny DeVito had a very strange haircut the other night. A wrap. He had the old wraparound, the old school wraparound.
It's no.
And really long and back, almost a mullet.
So I get to work this morning, and there's a very serious letter with a PSA in it.
Oh.
That they want me to play on the radio.
Okay.
And so I thought, there's no better time than right now to do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you want to set it up, or you want to just let us hear it?
A lot of people are concerned.
About what?
Peyton Manning.
Well, I mean, are they concerned that maybe he's going to have to get out of football and he wouldn't know where his income was going to come from?
Well, something kind of like that. But, I mean, the guy had to take a $4 million pay cut down from $19 million to $15 million. Well, let me just play this to you because, I mean, they're concerned. And if you can help out, please.
I'll do what I can.
Call this number if there's a number or tweet or whatever you can. But please help Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning is taking a $4 million pay cut and getting ready to return for another season with the Broncos. That means instead of making $19 million, he's only going to make $15 million. Won't you please be an angel and help Peyton Manning? For just $333,000 a month, you can help make up the difference. That's just $83,000 a week, or a little more than a fully loaded new Corvette. Your gift may not solve the problem, but it will help Peyton get by. And remember, your donation says, I'm a Broncos fan, and I care. Thank you.
Thought that was very important to play on the radio.
It's very good, and, you know, maybe I mean, do you get something like a little sticker or a pin you can wear if you donate?
I believe you get a picture of Peyton Manning.
You actually go get
No, not a picture taken with him. You get a picture of him to put on your fridge so you know where your money's going, and then you'll receive one letter a month from him telling you how he's hanging in there.
So we're asking you again, everybody out there, to give.
Only $833,000, whatever they said.
That's not... He's got a really, really heavy sort of overhead that he's got to make. Help him out. And he's doing everything he can to help out the team, the Broncos, so that they can sign other players. So he's willing to make this kind of sacrifice.
He's now making less money than Eli. Not only is he making less money than Eli, he has less Super Bowl rings than Eli, he has less Super Bowl MVPs than Eli. Well, and Eli is terrible! God, he's the worst quarterback I've ever seen.
Don't get back to Eli. Give Eli the credit and the attention that Peyton should. Well, Peyton should be getting this.
I get fired up. I'd rather have Tavares Jackson or Christian Ponder as my starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings for the rest of my life than have Eli Manning. I hate that douchebag.
Wow.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I think we all are, but let's just stay away from that Eli Manning thing. He's already got more than Peyton. Let's not continue to pile
He's
on.
He's worse. It's terrible.
Peyton is in trouble, so help out. If you can mail money to Denver, make sure you try.
Former Indiana Pacers great Reggie Miller was one of the best trash talkers in the NBA. We have one here with Kevin Garnett, obviously, during his time, but... He says there was only one goat at trash talking. Miller told Jimmy Kimmel, he was on there, I believe, last night, an awesome story about the time Michael Jordan warned the Pacers star about talking trash to him. I think it was the first game that they played against each other. Michael Jordan said, quote, "You never talk to Black Jesus like that."
Wow. Enough said. He doesn't have to say anymore after that. You just can't. You know, after he puts that in your grill, what are you going to come back with? Like, you're not...
No.
Oh, wait, you are, I guess, yeah.
No.
Larry Bird could probably talk a little trash.
Couple things before we get out of here and skedaddle, get back to high school hockey live from the XL Energy Center.
Right on.
Chicago Bears in a difficult situation with Jay Cutler. What are they going to do with him? They traded Brandon Marshall today to the New York Jets. The Jets will release Percy Harvin, and I'm hearing that the Green Bay Packers will be in on Percy Harvin if they lose Randall Cobb.
And it looks like he might be going. I mean, he's got a lot of people very interested in that. So I like seeing the rest of the division fall apart. Go ahead and start plucking these free agents as of tomorrow. Take Sue, take Cobb, do whatever you want. Oh, and by the way, pick up Percy Harvin, because I know that'll eat you alive internally. That'll be the cancerous sort of erosion that will become your football squad with Percy Harvin.
Yeah,
go ahead and pick him up. That's fine, because I know what's going to happen. It'll be self-destruct there, too.
This just in real quick. This is in sillier side of sports, but Thomas Vanek will not play tonight versus the Hurricanes due to illness.
Hmm.
Thomas Vanek not playing tonight. Dubnyk, playing. Finally, the Miami Herald is reporting that the Dolphins are, quote, confident they'll land in Ndamukong Suh. In fact, Armando Salguera, a writer for the Miami Herald, says, "I'm told the Dolphins, are confident that they're going to put a great offer on the table for Sue. They're confident they can get him. They're not certain because, obviously, there's still competition. It's going to take a deal within the vicinity of $102 million over 6 years. That seems low to me for Ndamukong Suh."
That may be so, but a defensive end is generally considered more, and that's what J.J. Watt.
But Ndamukong Suh wants to be the highest paid player on defense.
Well,
$17 million per season is 6 years, $102 million.
It's pretty good cash.
But the important numbers, obviously, the deal have to be the guaranteed money, the $30 to $32 million fully guaranteed with another $20 to $25 million in additional guarantees. Man's going to be rich. Not that he isn't already.
He's already very rich. He was in on those old deals they used to have when they came out in the draft.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. I think he came out right after Bradford.
I think he was number two,
was he not?
That's right.
Yeah, I think Sue was. But he's quite rich from the rookie contract.
Unbelievable.
That's not the case anymore.
Unbelievable. A full weekend.
Get a full weekend, so have some fun. It's going to be nice outside. It's going to be sunny and beautiful out in the mid to high 40s, even 50, I've been told.
Yeah.
So
next week in the 50s, it's going to be great. Hmm. Make sure to listen to all the high school hockey coverage we have. Number two, Edina. Facing off here in just a couple of minutes against unseeded Duluth East. And later on tonight, 8 o'clock, number 1, Lakeville North, undefeated. Number 5, Eden Prairie, that's at 8 o'clock. And then a full day, obviously, tomorrow. all of our local shows starting at 8 a.m. tomorrow, and then full coverage of high school hockey tomorrow, including the Class A final, which starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
Enjoy.
I love you to death, superstar. Thank you for all the fun and another great week. I'll see you back here on Monday, but don't talk to me in the meantime.
Thank you, sir. And trust me, I won't. Start shaping up a little bit. We have the true superstar, Army Captain Scott P. Pace, 33 years of age, from Brawley, California, assigned to the 1st Squadron, 17th Cavalry Regiment, 82nd Combat Aviation Brigade, 82nd Airborne Division, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, died June 6th in Quara Bah, Afghanistan, of wounds suffered when his OH-58D Kiowa helicopter crashed. Army Captain Scott P. Pace is my true superstar for the day, 33. Keep him in your hearts and prayers, if you would, please, going into your weekend. And he served his country proudly. Brave, brave man.
In the Colgren, wherefore many men have gone, lay me down in the Colgren. Many men have gone.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.